Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Beginning October 1st, 2020, Pennsylvanians will need a real ID compliant driver's license, photo ID card, or another form of federally acceptable identification, such as a valid passport or military ID, to board a domestic commercial flight or enter a federal building or military installation that requires ID. We actually have devoted a couple Smart Talk programs to real ID within the past year. And we realize there are still many questions and, quite frankly, some confusion about real ID, and we hope to answer some of those questions today. Joining us is Kurt Myers, Deputy Secretary for Driver and Vehicle Services at the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. Deputy Secretary Myers, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Also joining us is Alexis Campbell, Press Secretary at PennDOT. And Alexis, it's good to see you too.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, I'm going to say this right up front. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. We kind of suggest you don't wait around if you have been waiting on asking a question about real ID, because the last time we did this, our phones were very, very busy. We got a lot of emails, so I suggest that you try to get those calls and emails in as quickly as you can. 1-800-729-7532. That's the phone number. If you'd like to send an email, you can send it to smarttalk@witf.org. You can also leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at Smart Talk WITF. And again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So, Kurt Myers, I'll start with you. And a lot of these questions will be basic because not everyone has heard the answers to these questions. But what is Real ID?
Well, Real ID came from the 9/11 Commission after the tragic events of 9/11 in 2001. And it was an effort to create minimum standards for driver's license and identification card issuance across the United States, as well as the U.S. Territories. The regulations were written back in 2008 by the Department of Homeland Security, and Real ID really has been around since that point in time. You may recall that back in 2012, the legislature passed a law that forbid PennDOT from participating in the Real ID, and that was subsequently repealed in May of 2017. And at that point in time, we were in a position to be able to move forward with the Real ID program.
Did that delay create any kind of problems for you?
It did, in the sense that we would have preferred to implement Real ID as part of the renewal cycle. In other words, in Pennsylvania, obviously, your license is good for 4 years. And so we would have preferred to have done that on a yearly basis based upon your renewal. Because the timeline was shortened, we didn't have that option available to us. And so, yes, it did impact us from the standpoint of deployment, but we are well on our way and very comfortable with where we are at this point.
Why would I want a Real ID?
Well, there are really only a few reasons that you really need a Real ID, and they're actually defined in the regulations for federal purposes. And federal purposes are defined either as boarding a commercial aircraft, that goes into effect on October 1st of 2020, or entering a federal facility that currently requires an identification. And third is entering a nuclear power plant that is owned by the federal government. Those are the three reasons that are defined within the regulations that one needs a Real ID for those purposes.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to clear this up, because I will be asking some questions to clarify many questions that people have, must I get a Real ID? In other words, is it a requirement for everyone?
It is not. When the law was repealed, the language in the repeal clearly stated that it was optional in Pennsylvania. Some states, it is mandatory, but not in Pennsylvania. It is purely optional on the part of the customer, and they have the option to either opt in or opt out.
Alexis, Real ID has been available in Pennsylvania since March of last year, so it's been almost a year. How many people have decided to get Real ID up until this point?
We're almost at about 900,000 customers who've chosen to get a Real ID. which is great. We've made a lot of great progress. However, I think it's important that people understand that we don't want to look at that number in a vacuum. So if we look at the whole population of people that have either a driver license or a photo ID in Pennsylvania, that's about 10 million people. We anticipate that about 1.3 million of those customers are going to opt in to Real ID before federal enforcement starts in October of 2020.
What do you base that off? I hate to interrupt, but what do you base that on?
We base it off of data from other states that also have optional Real ID programs. So like Kurt said, some states make it mandatory. Everybody's got to get a Real ID. But here in Pennsylvania, we don't have that rule. So people can choose whether or not to get one. And most of those other states saw about 25% of their customer base choosing to get a Real ID. So we figured that's about 2.5 million people. Half of those would likely come in before the deadline. So that's where that number came from. So while we've had about 900,000 folks take care of it so far, we've had over 1.3 million of our customers choose not to get it. And that number is important too, because it is optional. So that shows that people have made a choice of whether or not to get a Real ID. The people that have decided not to get one right now, they can get one at any time. They can choose at their next renewal if they want to upgrade to a Real ID. They can go in tomorrow and get a Real ID if they want to. So it's really important when we look at the numbers of people that are opting in that we're also looking at the people who have decided not to, because all we're really wanting is people to think about it and make a decision so that they know they've got what they need.
I think you answered this, but again, I just want to point it out that something you just said, you know, we're putting a lot of emphasis on this October 1st deadline, but after October 1st, 2020, a Pennsylvanian can walk into a PennDOT office at any time and get Real ID, correct?
Oh, sure. Yeah. October 1st, 2020 is just when federal enforcement at the TSA checkpoints and at the federal buildings that are requiring Real ID begins. But you can certainly get a Real ID at any point after that.
Let's take a phone call from a listener in Cashtown. You're on the air. What's your question?
Mike, I have two questions. The one is, if a person has a passport, is that adequate? And if you're saying some states require the Real ID, suppose you board the plane in Pennsylvania, go somewhere, board it in another state, and you don't have a Real ID, and that's one of the states that require it, what do you do? And the other thing is, nobody mentions the fee connected with this. And I'd like to know if the fee is a one-time thing or if it has to be renewed every year or every 10 years like a passport.
You have some really good questions. Thank you very much for your call. Let's address cost right off the bat, because I have to imagine of that 1.3 million who have decided not to, that cost has something to do with it. What does it cost?
There is a one-time charge of $30. That fee is, again, only a one-time fee. After that, you'll simply pay your regular renewal fees for getting an updated license. I would say this, though, that in reference to the fee, the legislation that I mentioned earlier that repealed the prohibition to participate in Real ID also required that there be a fee charged for the Real IDs, so that cost associated with the Real ID was not an increase to those who were getting a standard issued license. And so that's the reason why there is a fee associated with the Real ID product. In addition to that, the caller asked about passports. Yes, a passport is certainly a product that can be utilized in lieu of a Real ID. As to other states, Real ID is a federal law, federal requirement. So for the purposes of getting on a commercial aircraft, regardless of where you're flying, if whether the state has a mandatory program to have a real ID or an optional program to have a real ID, the enforcement for the purposes of getting on a commercial aircraft are by TSA. And again, that's a federal requirement. So it is only for those federal purposes, again, as I noted earlier, that you need a real ID, and that's across the United States and U.S. territories.
So, and I just want to add to that, too, that the states that make it mandatory, it's mandatory for their citizens. So if you live in a state that requires you to get a real ID, then you would need to get one, but it doesn't, like Kurt said, it doesn't matter where you're flying. It only applies to the citizens of that particular state.
Well, it really doesn't matter anyway, really, as I'm thinking about this, because you're going to, whether it's optional or required, to fly commercially in this country, you're going to have a real ID compliant identification.
Or an alternative document that's been approved by the TSA.
Okay. Right. I would think, Alexis, I just mentioned this, but I'll say it again, that part of the reason that some people did opt out is because of the cost. That they, you know, it's $30, but maybe they say, I'm not going to fly within the next year or so, or that I'm not planning on being in federal buildings or anything like mm-hmm. that. So that $30 probably has kept some people from getting it, right?
It potentially has. I mean, it's up to every individual to decide whether they want to get it, and it's based on their own travel habits and their own personal needs. That's up to each person. But we've tried to implement a one-time fee, so you only pay it once when you opt in, and that it's, you know, it's as reasonable as we could make it. Well,
I have to also think that for convenience sake, now everyone's different, and I mean, there are people who don't have driver's licenses, but for convenience sake, that it would seem to be more convenient to carry real ID driver's license to remember your passport every time you went somewhere. Plus, I don't know, this is just me. When I travel and I have a passport, I'm always worried, where's that passport? That I'm going to lose it. Where the real ID you probably have in your wallet or purse to begin with because you're driving.
Right. And remember that in many cases, you talk about delivery drivers as an example, going to a military base simply to make a delivery, will need that real ID to be able to get onto the base, or another form of identification that the base has determined is acceptable besides a real ID. So there's the practical aspects of it. It's not just for those who fly commercially. They may not fly commercially, but they may have a job that's dependent upon entering federal facilities that currently require a identification.
Let's take a phone call from Jim in Enola. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. One of your guests touched on this, and I wanted to go into it in more detail. There is a simple reason why we are in this fix with a looming deadline and a bunch of people who haven't yet complied with it. Our legislature, the Pennsylvania legislature, is a very conservative legislature. It doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't represent the interests of Pennsylvania. What they did is they passed a law saying we, Pennsylvania, are not going to comply with Real ID. Then after that, people realized this is really going to screw up their life because, as you just pointed out, if you don't have a compliant driver's license and you want to fly domestically, you can't use that driver's license as ID. And there was a lot of pressure that was put on the legislature. They flip-flopped, they went back, and they decided to comply with Real ID. If they had not initially said we're not going to comply, we wouldn't be up against this deadline. So people need to think about this when they go into the voting booth. Do you want a legislature that does these sorts of things? So that's my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. We bring some politics into this as well. And I know you're not going to comment on that, so I won't even ask you. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Coming up on some programs here in the next future, we have the authors of two books, Midnight in Chernobyl and Driving While Black. Have an opportunity to talk with those authors at Midtown Scholar Bookstore in Harrisburg. And there will be recorded programs, but very interesting. Had an opportunity to talk with Adam Higginbotham of Midnight to Chernobyl last night at Midtown Scholar Bookstore, and I'll be talking about Driving While Black tomorrow night, and we will have those programs for you next week. But we invite you to share your questions in advance by sending us a voice memo or leaving voicemail. See what's coming up at WITF.org/smarttalk. On today's program, we're talking about Real ID. There's a deadline of October 1st, 2020 for those who want to travel domestically, go to military bases, federal facilities to have Real ID compliant identification. Now, our guest during the program, throughout the program, Kurt Myers, who's the Deputy Secretary for Driver and Vehicle Services at PennDOT, and Alexis Campbell, who's the Press Secretary at PennDOT. Now, one thing I did want to mention, and by the way, continue to call in. We're talking a lot about process today. Not often do we talk about process having to do with anything, but this is one time where we are talking about process and answering questions about process, who's eligible, who's not, what do you have to do, cost, all those kind of questions. You can continue to call in throughout the program. We're going to be talking with Scott Miller from Harrisburg International Airport in just a moment, but even while Scott is on the program, continue to call in to ask questions about Real ID. Now, there does promise to be some confusion immediately after Real ID is required to travel or enter a building. Harrisburg International Airport will be dealing with travelers who will need a Real ID compliant identification. Scott Miller is the Deputy Director of Business Development and Strategic Marketing at Harrisburg International. Scott, good to see you.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be back.
All right. So, by the way, here's the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, Scott, so what are your concerns?
Obviously, the concern is you get to the checkpoint on October 1st. You don't have the right ID. TSA is not going to allow you to go through the checkpoint to get to your airplane. So, your vacation, your business trip, your attendance at a funeral or whatever is canceled. And most people buy non-refundable tickets. They sometimes prepay hotels, prepay rental cars. You're done. And so if you aren't prepared for that, you know, it's going to be a very frustrating situation that we have to figure out how to handle, because you're done. You know, your $8,000 cruise, your $10,000 Disney trip, whatever, you're not getting there on the day you plan to go. So you have to figure out something else to do. And not everyone will probably handle that in a calm manner.
I can imagine that will happen pretty often. But
and that's our concern. How do we deal with that? We hope it doesn't become, our police department is working on that issue, trying to figure out how do we handle this properly. Our customer service staff's figuring that, because this is thrown on our laps.
So you say that you have to plan for that. Have you? I mean, obviously you've talked about it. I don't know if you've been in, communication with other airports or just what. But what plans are there?
That's what we're trying to figure out, because basically nothing anybody can do. It's just that, you know, look, I'm sorry, you're not going anywhere. You need to go home and figure out plan B. And that's the only answer you can give, just as the honest one, and explain to people in a calm way, you're not going, and that's it. That's really all we can do, except trying to be compassionate and understanding with, and you know, serve them with empathy like you would anybody who's confused or upset.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, this is a TSA call. This is not a call at HIA.
It's a federal law.
Right.
The TSA staff is under law. They cannot allow you to proceed.
Mm-hmm. So even if you are the most honest-looking person in the world, and you have 8 kids that, as you said, you're going to Disney World for the first time, this is a lifelong dream, all that, they can't feel sorry. They may feel sorry for you, but mm-hmm. they can't let you through that line without the Real ID.
Correct.
Okay.
Your trip is over before it starts.
Yeah. Well, I think the way you just said it, you're done, pretty much is final. Mm-hmm. Have you been in communication with other airports or other facilities that will be requiring Real ID?
Yeah, through the whole process, you know, through the repeal of the law, we are working with the airline industry. You know, the airlines are out there right now in the process. Now, right now, with the virus things going on. They are in the process of making sure they notify people who are booking after that date, make sure your license is compliant or have one of the other forms of ID that you can use. So they're starting that process. We are, you know, Alexis here and the PennDOT has done a great job of a public campaign reaching out to the public. We're trying to support that any way that we can. Airports throughout the state are working with the Aviation Council of Pennsylvania on a pushing a message out in support of what PennDOT is doing. So collectively, we're trying to get the message out. There's signage throughout the building. We put things in the bathrooms, anywhere that people would have a few minutes to, you know, to review what's going on. So it's special signage. It's all about educating people that this is something you have to do. You know, as an industry, we had hoped that it would be required and then you could choose to opt out. But that's not the way the legislature decided to go, and that's fine. So now it's educating, but it's something you have to take an additional step to do. And it's not a, you know, it's not a 5-minute process. You have to go prepared to do that. PennDOT's done a great job with the special centers they put up. They're doing a great job educating people what the documents are needed to bring. But the process is a little confusing at times for people. So you need to act now because it's probably not a 5-minute process. And the closer we get, it's going to take time.
Let me ask you this. Is there any reason for a traveler to arrive at the airport any earlier because of Real ID?
Don't know yet. We'll find out. No. You know, if you're prepared, you have an ID, you have a passport, you're fine. It doesn't matter when you arrive if you don't have it. You know, because you're not going anywhere. So there's going to be confusion. You know, today, if you get to a checkpoint and you forget your license or if it's stolen, the TSA has a process, a number you can call, and they will work with you through various different forms of identification. It's like a 20, 30-minute process. They can vet you and get you through the checkpoint. That's not going to be possible after October 1st. It'll just take too long to maybe too many people.
So, and that's a big difference because I've actually been with someone who forgot their license and the phone call was made and it happened. But you're saying that won't happen after October 1st.
It's at the rate it does today, very few people do that. It's a good service. The challenge after October, you know, you can't do that hundreds of times a day or thousands of times a day nationwide if there are that many people that aren't prepared.
Well, Scott, hopefully programs like today and PennDOT educating as many people as possible that will not be the case, that there will not be a lot of chaos and confusion, that kind of thing. But I think you're right that up at October 1st, October 2nd, I can see that happening.
We're hopeful not. We're hoping there's not a lot of chaos, but you don't know. So we have to plan for the worst case scenario and hope that we're wrong.
Scott Miller with Harrisburg International Airport. Scott, thanks very much for being with us today. All right, now, we've gotten a lot of questions here, so let me get to as many as we can. Let's go with line one, Craig. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Patricia. How are you today, Scott?
I'm doing very well.
Well, I started my process for the Real ID, and because I'm a married woman, then I got divorced, and I have to produce an original marriage license to be able to get my Real ID. And there are none of the electronic services that you can use to get a copy of your Real marriage license. So I am trying to chase down where to find that. I lived in Philadelphia when I got married, and so I had to call the Register of Wills, and they gave me the procedure to get it. So anybody who is married has to have an original marriage certificate.
All right. Well, I have to tell you, Patricia, this is the question I have heard the most since the last time we had our guest on the program about Real ID, and just observation, hearing about this one more than anything else. Thank you very much for your call. So what about the point that Patricia makes? There are a lot of people, and, you know, we can talk about all the documents that will be accepted to get Real ID, but this one in particular seems to be holding up people once they get to a PennDOT office, is that if their name has changed through a marriage or if they legally have changed their name, that and the point she makes, trying to get a hold of that marriage license, that original marriage license, can be difficult. What about that?
And it is something that we've heard on a continuous basis, and there isn't an easy answer to it, and I wish there was. The fact is that obviously these regulations are created by Homeland Security, so we're following those requirements to ensure that we show the chain of changes in a person's name. And the way that we do that is through the marriage certificate, divorce certificates, but they are very specific, the documents.
Okay, wait. I want to stop you there, Kirk. You said marriage certificates, divorce certificates. Do you need both?
Only in certain circumstances. Not everyone
will. Don't confuse me, Alexis.
Yeah.
I mean, now, seriously, let's try to make this as simple as possible. Do you need, is it wise to bring both if you have been divorced?
Our advice is to bring a lot of things, to bring as many documents as you can that you think would support it. We need to be able to show, like Kurt said, we need to be able to show where the names changed along the way. So if you're showing us a birth certificate and it has your birth name on it and you have a different name now, we need to see whatever documentation got you from name one to your current name. So in some cases, that's a marriage certificate. In some cases, it's a couple marriage certificates. We need to see a divorce decree only in certain situations, like if somebody goes back to their maiden name, for example, and then that shows where your name was Smith, it became Jones, and then it went back to Smith. So everybody's situation is different, and that's part of what makes this so complicated, honestly, because everybody has a different life. Everybody has had different, you know, different ways to get between their various names. So our best advice, we have a really comprehensive page on our website that's just devoted to name changes.
What is that, by the way? We should do that throughout the show.
Sure. You can get to our Real ID page by visiting PennDOT.gov and clicking on the Real ID icon. You can go to the DMV website where you renew your registration and license and click on the Real ID icon, or you can just type PennDOT.gov/RealID right into your website browser and you'll get there. Any of those ways.
All right. A couple questions for this, though. Say you've been married and divorced more than once. Do you need all those marriage licenses?
Yes.
Yes. How do you get them? Because, I mean, even getting a birth certificate can be, an original birth certificate can be difficult. How do you get an original marriage certificate?
You would need to go back to the county in which you received your marriage certificate. So whether it's, sometimes it's in the clerk of orphans court can help you. Sometimes there's a prothonotary's office that can help you. Our website page. So if you're looking for information on name changes, if you visit PennDOT.gov/RealID, you can click the name changes button, and that'll take you through a bunch of different scenarios, and it has links to all kinds of different resources that can help you.
And there is a cost associated with obtaining some of these documents.
There could be.
Depending on the county.
Correct.
What if you're born in another state or married in another state?
Then you would need to go to the other
state.
Correct.
Right. And when we say go, we mean contact.
Contact,
not,
sorry.
Not,
right.
Not
no, you don't have to drive.
Right. Although some people may want to do that, right. But at the same time, yeah, I wanted to clarify that too, that when you say go, you
sorry,
mean
yes.
You just that.
Reach out.
All right. That one, again, seems to be the one that is causing the greatest confusion out there and, I don't know, quite frankly, frustration, because
sure.
It seems as though there are many people not prepared for that. While we have a lot of calls and a lot of emails, and I want to get to as many as I can.
Before we totally leave name changes, though, I just want to
all
make
right,
sure
okay.
that people know that if you have a passport and it's in your current name and you don't need to show us any documentation.
The passport?
The passport will take care
okay,
of it.
That takes
because
care
that's
of all.
Another, that's a birth certificate replacement. So you can show us either a birth certificate or a passport.
But does that replace a marriage license?
If it's in your current name.
Okay. So I get married, go on a honeymoon, need a passport for it, and it's in my married name. That passport is all I need. Okay. Matt asks, if I have a valid passport, it appears I don't need to have the real ID. Can I obtain real ID with only a valid passport for identification? If not, why not?
That's a great question. And in fact, In November of last year, and the Department of Homeland Security reached out to all stakeholders who had an interest in Real ID and asked for comments on ways that the program could be enhanced from the standpoint of the regulations. There were 69 comments that went back to the Department of Homeland Security across the country. Some were from states. Some comments were from individual citizens. Others were from companies, just on ideas on ways that the processes could be streamlined. Pennsylvania also sent in comments to that. And in fact, our two comments were specific to, number one, the passport, because we believe very strongly that if you have a passport and we can validate or verify that you have that passport is in good standing, that we could, quite frankly, do over the internet if a customer came in to the internet site, entered their information on the internet site, we could then verify that electronically with the Department of State, the Federal Department of State. We have said then, why can't we then issue a real ID? Those are the types of ideas.
But that didn't happen, right?
It did not happen.
All right, well, I want to make sure people realize
right.
that. That was a suggestion, but it did not happen.
Right.
You can't do it by online.
That is correct, and we also had some other suggestions. But the point to this is that we are looking for ways to streamline it. But again, for that to happen, it has to happen for the federal regulations and/or Congress. The United States Congress would have to change the law to allow for any changes over and above what exists today.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call from Dale in Lancaster. Dale, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's obvious that the Real ID and the passports aren't interchangeable, although in circumstances which you've discussed, they seem to have equal weight. My question is whether or not the Real ID will be recognized abroad. Does it have any value when you're traveling?
Other than as a driver's license, no.
Okay.
So overseas, it is nothing more than a Pennsylvania driver's license.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Dale, that's a very good question. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to William. William is from Michigan, actually, and is driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I understand. William, welcome to Pennsylvania.
thank you. I've been here a few times. I just left here with a load going to Kentucky, and I just coming back with a load come from out of Lexington.
Like a country song, quite frankly.
I caught your station, and I like listening to them all the time because, you know, it kind of gives me an update on what's going on with the government, too. I've never been approached through my state that I have to have an enhanced license or nothing either. But, you know, just all in all thinking, you know, you're saying 10 million people, and they want 10 million people in Pennsylvania to have this license. Well, you know, the government could just want some money through Homeland, you know, because you're talking about $300 million. And now if you're talking about they want everybody in the United States to have it, you know, which is supposed to be, what, 300-some million people, now you're talking almost $7 trillion, you know.
So you're saying you think it's a moneymaker?
Yeah, because just like the state of Michigan, you wanted to get a hazmat license. Well, in order to get a hazmat license, you have to be fingerprinted. Well, it costs $175 to be fingerprinted. That's supposed to last 5 years. Your license only lasts 4. Well, your license can't lapse. Within your fingerprinting. And so what will happen is every 4 years you have to spend $175 to be fingerprinted in order to have a hazmat license. Mm. And it's just, to me, it's not worth it. And it's a moneymaker. I mean, come on. Well, I've been driving trucks for 40 years, and, you know, I've hauled hazmat, I've hauled everything, you know, from flatbeds to everything else. But it's just... To me, it's just a way the government wants to make some money.
Well, William, thank you very much for your call. I know you can't address now, but I do want to point out that $30 that you mentioned, that is on the feds, right? That was something that was dictated that there would be a fee. Did I understand you correctly?
State law required.
Oh, state law.
State law required that. And I want to be clear about the fee that we collect. It goes to the motor license fund and is reinvested in the roads that we drive on, the bridges that we drive on. So it is not a moneymaker. It is being reinvested back in the infrastructure of the Commonwealth for the benefit of the citizens.
It doesn't go to the state police. We're covering areas that, oh, that's another issue. I guess we can talk about that. What are you making faces about, Alexis? I know that's another issue we've talked about. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're talking about Real ID, which goes into effect. The deadline is October 1st, 2020. And talking a lot about the process, a lot of questions today. Kurt Myers, Deputy Secretary for Driver and Vehicle Services at the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, and Alexis Campbell, Press Secretary at PennDOT. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. By the way, we are getting a lot of emails and phone calls. We will pass the ones that we don't get on the air, we will pass them along to PennDOT, right, mm-hmm. Alexis, and try to get your questions answered with that. Let's go to Vince in Hershey. Vince, you're on the air.
Yes. What are the forms of ID necessary when you show up at PennDOT?
Okay, thank you very much for your call, and I will just add before you answer that question, Alexis, that this is probably the biggest question of all. Yes, we addressed the marriage license, divorce situation, but this is where I hear so many people saying, well, I showed up with seven different documents, and the one I didn't have is the one that I was turned away with. Okay, what are the documents that are needed, absolutely must have?
Sure. So the federal regulations require us to verify the following things. We need to see one proof of identity document, which is either, for most of us, it's either a birth certificate or a passport. So that's one. We need to see a Social Security card, and we need to see two proofs of your residency in Pennsylvania, and we'll take many, many, many different things for that. We'll take your current driver's license, your vehicle registration, your auto insurance card, a utility bill, a bank statement. We need to see something that shows your name and your current mailing address. So that's what everybody needs to show us. And then if you've had a name change and it's not reflected in your proof of identity, so your birth certificate or passport, then we need to see documentation that shows that change, whether it's a marriage certificate or a court order. But those are the basics of what we need to see.
But those documents, other than something that shows your address, your place of residence, must be original, even the Social Security card, right?
Correct.
My dog chewed up my Social Security card when I was 18. How do I get an original Social Security card?
So the Social Security Administration will issue you a replacement card for free. So you can either go to the Social Security office in person and get it, or you can actually order it. Most people in Pennsylvania, a lot of us can order it online, and it'll be delivered to your house within a week. I got mine like within 5 days.
Oh, you had to get one too?
I did.
Dog?
No, just my own flakiness.
Okay. Laura asked, if I've lost my license but have a passport card, can I get a license renewal?
By lost your license, does that mean misplaced? Or like
just says
suspended?
If I've lost my license, that's a good question. Doesn't say. Laura, did you break some of the laws of Pennsylvania's roadways and lost your license? Or is it that you lost?
Well, if it's a misplaced...
Well, how about we answer both?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you've misplaced your license, you still have a driving record in Pennsylvania. You can actually get a duplicate license or a new license as part of the Real ID process. So if you've lost it, you'll need to still bring in all of those documents that I just mentioned, the birth certificate or passport, Social Security card, residency, name change if you need that, and will renew your license at that time, and you'll get a new card either within the mail within 15 business days, or if you visit one of the Real ID centers that issue over the counter, then you'll walk out with it that day.
I just want to take a step back. When you were listing the documents earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, you would need none of those if you have a passport.
Well, you would bring your passport.
Right.
And then you would also need your social security card and your proofs of residency.
You would. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the passport is a... You could show that instead of a birth certificate.
All right.
Go Scott, ahead. I just want to add, too, that if the question was about somebody who is under suspension, I just want to be clear that you can get a real ID identification card. So if you're under suspension, you can qualify for the identification card and get that as a real ID. Mm.
Helen wants to know, what about children? Will they need real ID?
Currently, TSA doesn't require... any kind of identification for children under 18 when they're traveling with an adult. So the adult would need to show identification.
You said currently. Currently.
Yeah,
what
I mean,
mean?
I mean currently is in...
October 1st.
No, well, currently is in right now.
Right.
So TSA or the feds could change that if they wanted to. That's under their purview. But as of now, it's not required for people under 18.
Okay, and again, I keep asking these questions to clarify. So you saying that after October 1st, kids can travel without real ID with their parents if their parents have accepted form of identification?
Right, as long as they're traveling domestically. If you're traveling internationally,
you need a passport
your kid
anyway.
Needs a passport. Right.
But to go into a federal building, military base, I mean, child with adult, they would need nothing.
Right. That's the way it is right now.
Okay.
As I said, they could make a change on that, but that's what the requirements are right now.
Steve is in Hershey. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Scott, for taking my call.
Yes, you're welcome.
Last June, I went to get my real ID, and fortunately, I went to the PennDOT building in Harrisburg. I waited 45 minutes, filled out the paperwork. Some gentleman came out and says, hey, we can't issue a real ID here. You have to go to Enola, which seems a little, distraughting because I thought the normal PennDOT building, you could probably pick up a real ID. Has that changed?
No, it hasn't.
Why would he be sent to Enola?
Well... I don't know all the details behind the caller's situation there, but we can vet documents at any of the 75 driver licensing centers across the Commonwealth. And when I say vet, I mean they can be reviewed by our staff. They can be imaged, which is another requirement of Homeland Security. And in those cases, for those centers, we'll mail you your real ID within a two-week period of time. We do have 12 real ID centers across the Commonwealth, Somerdale being one of them, Lancaster East off of Route 30 is another, where you can walk in with your documents, have your documents vetted, and get your real ID issued at that site. That site is at a higher level of security to meet Homeland Security requirements. And frankly, we did that when we listened to Scott earlier. And the concerns about somebody coming to the airport without an ID, we wanted to be sure that the citizens of the Commonwealth had an option that if they didn't have a real ID, and God forbid they had a death in the family and needed to fly somewhere the next day, they had some place to go to be able to take their documents in and get issued a real ID over the counter.
Mm. You don't know why he would have been sent, though, from Harrisburg to...
I can only imagine if he said, I want to walk out with my real ID, that they would have said... You'll okay. need to go to Somerdale to be able to do that.
And I will say, personally attest to Harrisburg PennDOT office that I've never waited for 45 minutes for anything. That is one of the more efficient, most efficient buildings I have ever seen working with government. So kudos to you. It's been around for a while now, but I have to admit I was surprised that how quickly and how smoothly everything worked. Listener says, I got my real ID this past fall when I had to renew my license. I did this because I got surprised a couple years ago when I went to JFK to pick up a cat shipped from Hong Kong. I had made all the appropriate phone calls, but no one told me I needed a federal ID, a passport, to pick up an imported item from the airport. This came as a surprise. Is this something that was literally in years standing in import office with my Pennsylvania driver's license, unable to pick up the cat who had already traveled 13 hours on a plane? Okay, this is a new one. I've never heard this one before. What about it?
Well, I'm going to turn this over to Alexis because she's a cat owner.
that qualifies her for this
one. I have a couple questions about the cat. You need a real ID to get past a TSA checkpoint, or you will after October 1st, 2020. So I suppose if you need to go through the checkpoint in order to get to the customs area, then you would need it. But the goal is you just need to get it. You need a real ID to get through that checkpoint. So if there's an area of the airport that you are traveling to that is behind that checkpoint, then you would need a real ID to get through.
Even if it's just to pick up something that's coming from another country. Well, even domestically, I'd assume now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know without, like, understanding the layout of every airport and where their customs office is and stuff. But, you know, the safest and kind of the most general statement we can say is that TSA requires a real ID to get through the checkpoint. So if you've got to pass through a checkpoint, then you're going to need to show a real ID.
Michael asked, to get through airport TSA, can you ask your guest to clearly state alternative ID to real ID? That is a valid passport.
Actually, there is a list on the TSA website, and I would encourage the caller to visit the TSA website. There's a complete list. The passport is the most common one used, but there's also military IDs as well as other documents that are acceptable.
We have a caller ask that question. What about the use of military IDs?
That is on the TSA website as an alternative document for use on going through TSA checkpoints.
Laura asks, I work in a position that occasionally requires helping individuals obtain IDs. Many times they have no other form of verification, including Social Security cards or birth certificates. Will real ID make this more difficult than it already is for individuals to obtain an ID card?
Well, I believe that's one of the reasons on why the legislature wanted to keep the issuance of real IDs optional, because we still issue a standard issued driver's license, and that is a process, and as well as the standard issued ID for our customers.
Let's go to Patricia in Ephrata. Patricia, you're on the air.
Hi, I am so confused. We lived in Ephrata for 16 years. We moved to Florida for 3.5 years. When we went to Florida, we had to get our driver's license. So we did. Then we moved, last fall, we moved back to Pennsylvania, back to Ephrata. When we went in to get our driver's license, all that stuff done at the thing, to get everything, the driver's license okay for here, the fellow at the Department of Transportation said, you already have real ID. And he said, there's a star on your Florida driver's license. And I said, you're kidding. And he said, no, you already have it. And I said, well, then why can't I have it now? And that's my question. Why could I have real ID in Florida and not in Pennsylvania?
Thank you very much for your call.
That's a great question. And here again, that's one of the rules that Department of Homeland Security has, that we need to see all those documents again for the purposes of being able to issue you a Pennsylvania real ID. And so that is a question, quite frankly, that many states have asked the Department of Homeland Security why it can't be recognized. And we're hopeful at some point in time that position on the part of Homeland Security will change. But for now, yes, we have to see all the documents. Even though you have a real ID in another state, we have to see the documents before we can issue a Pennsylvania real ID.
So many questions here, and we only have a minute left. And I'm going to send these to you because there are a lot of good ones that, you know, I don't think that, I don't know whether the legislature thought of this or Congress thought of this. You know, one of the questions I have is, like, 9/11, 2001, almost 20 years ago, why has it taken that long to get this implemented? Any idea?
Well, I think first and foremost was the fact that there was a great deal of discussion about the regulations when Homeland Security was putting them together. There was, as in Pennsylvania, there were a number of other states that passed laws saying that they wouldn't participate. And it wasn't until recently that the federal government, in the last few years here, began efforts to bring this deadline to a closure. Mm.
Kurt Myers and Alexis Campbell from PennDOT want to thank you very much for being with us today. We will forward your questions to PennDOT to try to get some answers for you, probably in the form of email, but we will forward these because there are still a lot of questions. And I have an assumption that we will probably have you back before October 1st, if you're okay with that, to answer some more questions. But thank you very much for being with us today. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.